You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week we are taking a break from our journey through John's Gospel as Brother Keith preaches the message, The Unfinished Story, from Mark 16, 1 through 8. Let's listen in.
Amen. Jesus is Lord, and one day every knee will bow. I hope that you are bowing to Him now as Lord of your life, because it will make all the difference in your eternity whether or not you're willing to bow to Him as Lord of life now, because He is the risen Christ, the one who died in your place. Do you admit that? Do you accept that? If you do, then you have a wonderful hope for your own resurrection. To resurrect something or someone as Jesus was resurrected, but to resurrect means to restore life to or to revive the practice of that thing. So we might say that a business that was at the point of bankruptcy, that had turned itself around and didn't close its door, but was now successful, we might say that business had been resurrected. Or maybe a sports team, after many years of losing seasons, all of a sudden they have a turnaround, and they win a championship. We might say that team was resurrected. Even someone like Tiger Woods, who was down and out, but he won the Masters last weekend. We might say his career, that's a good word. His career was resurrected. Absolutely. What about a marriage on the verge of breaking up? But the couple, they come together and they work it out, and their marriage is better than ever. We might say that marriage had been resurrected. Or maybe a person whose hope is gone because of circumstances of life, and they just seem to have lost hope, but all of a sudden they get a new outlook on life. We might say their life is resurrected. Maybe that's you today. There is hope. There is hope. We all like a resurrection story. And in fact, we need a good resurrection story. So my question is yours in progress, your resurrection story? Well, Easter is all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What was dead is now alive. He who was dead is now living. And the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation upon which Christianity is built. It is the foundation. And if we took a study of the writers from the New Testament, we could see that all of their themes, I mean, the resurrection of Christ is at the top of those themes. Now, don't misunderstand. It was at His death, not His resurrection, that Jesus said, "It is finished." That was just before He died. He said, "It is finished." So the work of redemption was completed at Jesus' death. No one can take away from what Jesus did. They can't add to what Jesus did. So while redemption was completed with Jesus' death, His resurrection proves that God accepted His death as atonement for our sin. And the resurrection validates everything Jesus said about who He is and why He came. It's validated by the resurrection of Jesus. So without the resurrection of Jesus, Christianity crumbles into just another religion of trying to reach God. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, a literal bodily resurrection, if He did not raise from the dead, then we meet here in vain. But I tell you, Christ is risen. Well, our passage this morning, Joanne has read our scripture, Mark 16, 1 through 8. And most of you have heard the account of Jesus' resurrection all of your life. Some of you may not be as familiar with it. Either way, my prayer is that today we hear it again for the first time with fresh ears so that our own lives might be resurrected to new life and new hope. And I intentionally chose Mark's account of the resurrection, and I'll tell you why in just a few moments. But I want to point out three elements of life that are connected with the resurrection of Jesus. Three elements of life that are connected with the resurrection of Jesus, and they are faith, grace, and hope. The second one you have. The third one is dependent on you having the first one, which helps you to know that you have the second one. Faith, grace, and hope. In other words, hope comes from your faith in Jesus Christ that awakens you to God's grace. Let me say that again. Hope comes from your faith in Jesus that awakens you to God's grace. First of all, faith. Now, we know that faith is the key to being a Christian. It's not how good you are. It's not how much you know the Bible and how well you know the Bible. It's not how much you do for other people. It's not about how often you come to church or anything like that. Although being a Christian will make you improve in all of those areas, it absolutely will. The key to being a Christian is faith in Jesus Christ, believing who He is and what He has done for you. Now remember, it's not the amount or the strength of your faith that matters, it's the object of your faith that matters. I was reading one of my devotion books this week, Charles Spurgeon, Morning and Evening, and maybe you have read that or are reading it. But he was talking about when the death angel passed through the homes of the Israelites when they were in Egypt. And when the death angel came through the community, that angel was looking for blood on the doorposts. And it wasn't the amount of blood on the doorpost that he was looking for. It wasn't how well applied that blood was on the doorpost. He wasn't even looking at the condition of the people inside of the house. He was looking to see if there was blood on the doorposts. And so if the people of that home had just enough faith to put blood on the doorpost in obedience to what had been told them, then that death angel would have passed over them and they would have been saved that imminent judgment. And that's the way it is with us. When God sees our faith in Jesus, no matter how big that faith is or how small that faith is, He sees our faith in His Son. Our faith in His Son. And we are spared from judgment. And that's an eternal judgment. Our forgiveness and salvation rests on God's ability to see. See, it doesn't rest on us. All that's required of us is faith. And our salvation depends on God's ability to see our faith. Now, I don't know about you, but my faith tends to waver. At times, it feels like it's unshakable. But at other times, it seems weak. Now, we all may have strong faith in some areas, like we could face a sickness or face the death of a loved one with great faith. But then when it comes to a problem of life or problem with children or grandchildren, our faith is weak. And it tends to waver. And the fact is, wavering faith is quite common. Even those close to the resurrection of Jesus had wavering faith. Mark tells us about three women going to the tomb early that Sunday morning: Mary, and Salome. Jesus died before the Sabbath began that Friday at sundown. And then Joseph and Nicodemus, they retrieved the body of Jesus and they placed it in the tomb. But once the Sabbath began, nothing else could have been done. And so, as soon as Sabbath was over, which was sundown, Saturday evening, the women went and bought spices when the shops were open again. They could purchase what they needed, so they made their purchases. That's what Scripture tells us. so that they could go early the next morning, which was Sunday morning, to anoint the body of Jesus, to complete what Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea couldn't complete before the Sabbath began. So that's what the ladies were doing there on that Sunday morning. But when did the women buy spices to anoint the body of Jesus? It was when he had sincerely said that he would rise from the dead. So why did they buy those spices? Jesus had already told them he was going to rise from the dead. Yet they went and bought spices. Did they not understand what Jesus said? Or did they not believe what Jesus said about rising from the dead? Maybe their faith was wavering. They were probably caught in that moment of uncertainty. But just in case, they were doing what they believed to be right. They were walking in faith. Isn't that what faith is anyway? Pressing on in spite of uncertainty. You're not quite sure, but I think this is right. And therefore, this is the way I am going to live. This is the way I'm going to walk. And the ladies asked themselves, who would move the stone from the entrance? That's what they asked themselves as they were going. Verse 2, they were on their way to the tomb when they asked that. So they were acting in faith. See, faith is up and down. They didn't believe maybe enough, and they went ahead and bought the spices, yet they were still going and wondering who was going to move this stone. And then they realized something amazing. Because they were faithfully doing what was before them, they found a wonderful surprise. Not only an open tomb, but an empty tomb. It's like Jesus was teaching in one of his parables. The person working the field, he found a treasure, and then he covered it up and he went and sold whatever he could sell to get the money to buy the field so that he could have that treasure. Those surprises come along the way if we are walking in faith. And I think it's the same for us. It's the same for you. It's the same for me, that we walk the path that God puts before us in faith. We just walk, we just live by faith, and He will give us some wonderful surprises along the way. The warmth of His presence, an overwhelming peace, the assurance of His love, or maybe the awareness of His glory, and one day, while we're walking this life of faith, our own resurrection. Wonderful surprises. So our faith grows by walking in faith. Faith grows by walking in faith. And it's as our faith grows that the second thing happens. We become aware of God's grace. Now, we all like to hear stories of grace. We like to think of God's grace because we think that God's grace just automatically releases us from the responsibility of sin. God's going to cover me, that therefore I'm going to live any way I want to. But that's a misunderstanding of grace. We want to think that God is like some granddaddy in the sky who doesn't know what we are doing, really doesn't care, or if he does, he won't interfere with what we are doing. But that thinking is just elevating our thoughts above God's thoughts and desires, hoping He'll let us by. See, here's something to remember. Grace removes the condemnation of your sins, but not necessarily the consequences of your sins. Condemnation is gone, but we all know that sins create consequences. And those, although God could remove all consequences, He doesn't do that. But condemnation is gone. So here is grace. God is righteous. I am not. Even so, God gives me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God is righteous. I am not. And even in my unrighteousness, He gives me the righteousness of Christ. And that is an amazing grace. I don't deserve God's grace. I can't ever earn God's grace. I can't keep God's grace. All I can do is accept His grace by faith. And I just accept it by faith. And even when that faith wavers, and it will, we walk in faith. Look at what happened to Peter. One of the inner circle of Jesus' disciples, right after the Last Supper, Peter proudly declared that he would never fall away from Jesus, even if all the rest of the disciples did. But he did fall away, along with all the other disciples. And Peter even denied knowing Jesus. He was ashamed to admit that he was a follower of Jesus or even knew Jesus. But look at God's grace to Peter in verse 7. The angel told the women, "But go tell his disciples and Peter." And Peter. Peter is singled out here as a reminder that God had not disowned him because of his mistake. And only Mark's gospel includes this, singles Peter out, and that's because Mark's gospel was written with the influence of Peter's testimony. So Peter knew that God's grace had touched him. He knew it. And Peter re-engaged in following Jesus because his faith made him aware of God's grace. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel disqualified because of some poor choices that you have made in your own life. But may I remind you that Jesus died in order to forgive your sin. He died to forgive all of your sin. He rose again to prove that God accepted His death as an atonement for your sin. So God's grace covers you if you will accept it. So re-engage. Maybe you think you're disqualified and you have disengaged, but God is calling all of us to re-engage. His grace allows that. So repent of your sin and accept His forgiveness by faith. It's by faith. And then you will grow in your understanding of grace as you're walking in faith. And then as you begin to understand God's grace, that's when the third thing comes in, hope. That's when hope will come alive. Now, hope is the confident expectation of something yet to come. Wishful thinking is saying, "I know I haven't studied for that test, but maybe I'll make a good grade." That's wishful thinking. And I took many a test thinking that. Wishful thinking. On the other hand, hope is saying, "I know I've studied for that test, so I expect to make a good grade." And I can recall times where I took tests where I was studied up and I couldn't wait to get that test to write it all down. But that's hope. That's confident expectation. As Christians, see, we have a confident expectation that Jesus will raise us to eternal life. We have that expectation, that hope, and it's based on faith in His resurrection. It's based in His resurrection, not our ability to live a good life, but it's based on our knowledge of His resurrection. See, faith inspires hope. Look at what the angel told the women in verse 7. "But go tell His disciples and Peter, He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him, just as He told you." He had already told them that He would rise again, that He would go to Galilee and meet with them there. And here are the disciples. They started putting together all that Jesus had been saying and all that had been happening. And they were connecting the dots, remembering the things that Jesus told them before His crucifixion. Their faith grew. They began to realize that God's grace had indeed been working all the time, and hope sprung forth. They were changed from being a cowering group of followers in a private room to being hope-filled witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They believed in a literal resurrection of Jesus, and they were willing to die for that belief. They were changed. I still think a great illustration for restoring hope is seen when someone is rescued from a cave. Just last week, I heard a story of somebody being rescued from a cave. And last year, there was the group. But I still think of the Chilean miners that happened several years ago. They were without hope down underground. And then finally, word from above reached them that they were going to be rescued. Word from above reached them. And they realized that people were working around the clock in order to reach them and to save them, to bring them out. And when they heard that word from above, they had their faith awakened. And they realized that their hope had been reborn. They had a confident expectation of being rescued. They had reason to believe that they would be rescued. And therefore, their hope was resurrected. Isn't that a picture of salvation? That we have received word from above. It has come down to us in the living word of Jesus Christ. And our faith has been awakened to his grace that he came not because of our goodness, but because of his love and because of his mercy and his grace. And then therefore, we are awaiting our own resurrection. And it brings hope to life. So I would say to you this morning, just start living in faith. Start walking in faith, and you will find that Jesus is constantly going ahead of you to meet you there. Just like he told the ladies to tell the disciples. He will go ahead of you. Do you know Jesus has already been in tomorrow? He's already been there. He's already been into next year because time does not matter to him. But he's done that and he will meet you there as we are walking in faith. Remember, that hope comes from your faith in Jesus that awakens you to God's grace. Do you know about God's grace? Are you walking in faith? Is your hope being restored? Don't hope for things of this world, because everything in this world will pass away. Lift your gaze and let it be on him who awaits us in our own resurrection. Well, when I started, I said I chose Mark's account of the resurrection for a reason. It's why I titled this message, The Unfinished Story. Most scholars agree that verses 9 through 20 were not written by Mark. In fact, if you'll look in your Bible, if you have a later edition, you will see a footnote that says 9 through 20 was set apart. They think maybe those verses were written by a scribe or scribes to bring conclusion to Mark's gospel, or to maybe make it align with the other gospels. And so if that's true, then if Mark wrote an ending, it has been lost, or maybe he ended it abruptly, just like he began it. He doesn't tell us anything about Jesus' birth. It's just right there. Maybe he ended it just as abruptly as he began it. But maybe he left it open. Maybe he left it unfinished. Because the story of resurrection is not complete in your life until you accept it for your own life. It's unfinished until you finish it. And then when, by faith, you accept it, that it was done for you, Jesus' death, that was proved by his resurrection, then you add to your own story that will be completed one day when he brings you into his kingdom. Are you living in faith? See, Easter is all about new beginnings, new hope, new life. Because Jesus lives, you will live too, if you have accepted what he has done for you. And I pray that you have. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, I thank you for your living word. I thank you for the hope that you give us. And Lord, I thank you for grace. Because without your grace, then none of us would have any hope. In fact, we wouldn't be here. So Lord, I'm thankful that you have made a way for us. And Lord, I pray for those that need to act on their faith, that you would bring them to the place of walking in faith. Not necessarily understanding. That will come in time. But just to step out in faith. And I pray that you would help us all to take those steps of faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you would like to take some of those steps of faith that Brother Keith was talking about, we would love to help you out with that. You can find our contact information on our website at fbcamericas.org. And tune in next week as we hear testimonies from some of our youth for Youth Sunday.